thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you don't know who I am, my name is JT. I am one of the youth leaders in here. I'm minister in training in the church. I am going to spend only about 15 minutes maximum here this evening. I just want to bring a bit of a word from the sort of the flow of this carol service. I don't know if you can tell the flow. We started like this sort of expectancy, O come, Emmanuel. And then it's sort of in this moment where light breaks in. And then now we're going to celebrate and rejoice that light has come. If you're new to our church or you've been in our church or anything like that, we have been in a series titled Light Breaks In. All of the month of December, that has been our key theme that we've just sort of worked our way through. And tonight, I want to land on just that title specifically, Light Breaks In. I want to take us on a bit of a journey briefly tonight. And I was thinking, how do I best describe this? But can you imagine you sitting in the living room and maybe you've got like the TV on or you're talking to your family or your friends and then just like the lights just start to go dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and then turn off. Or imagine you're like listening to some music and then all of a sudden like the music just stops playing. Or you were watching something on TV and all of a sudden the TV just cuts out. There would be this moment within you that'd be like, here, what's going on? Like I was watching that, I was listening to that, I was speaking to them, and all of a sudden something's changed. There's something out of the ordinary that has happened. And we pick up this sort of story. Before light breaks in, there is this moment of silence, or we can say darkness, that went across the whole earth. See, for Israel, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a period of 400 years, and we've heard that preached on a couple of times in church in this space. See, for 400 years, there was no new prophet. There was no guy that the Lord was raising or woman the Lord was raising to say something of hope into a generation. There was no other person that the Lord was bringing. There was no clear sign when he was coming. It was sort of this moment of just silence, of just darkness. And the question from generation to generation would have been, has God went quiet? Where's God went? And there's maybe some people in this space tonight and you ask the same question. Has God gone quiet? Where are you, Lord? And by the time Jesus is then born, after the 400 years, it's not this perfection moment in time. You see, there is this Pax Romana, which is this peace within the Roman Empire, which is great. But they're under Roman occupation. They're having to serve the Roman government. The taxes, especially to the Jewish believers and the Jewish people, was very, very high. It is not this glamorous moment that the Lord Jesus is born into. There's probably this loss of hope that is just creeping into these people that maybe once had it. You see, these promises almost feel like ancient echoes rather than realities that they were going to experience. But it's in that silence we read in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of God, where are you? We hear the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, John doesn't suggest this is it's a polite entry. It's sort of an entry that's been leading up. It is this burst. It's this light breaks in. And so my first point this evening, if it's helpful for points for me, maybe it's not for you. My first point is this, the darkness deepens. And here, you may be similar to me. Me and Holly say this, I think every time we sit at the dinner table over this last month, where's December gone? You ever ask that question to someone? Where is it gone? It just feels like time is completely flying in. Holly and I always say, this is supposed to be the season that everything winds down. But I just think it's the opposite nowadays. There's always like a nativity to go to. There's always a carol service. There's always someone you need to buy a present for. There's always someone you have to see before Christmas Day. There's always just something to do. It just seems to be this season that is supposed to be quiet and winding down. It becomes rushed and busy. It becomes that sort of season for so many of us. Like Holly and I say, our only speed at Christmas is just flat out. Like it's just flat out until the 25th that we just go for it here. And you see, I feel like all we do is just, we just rush. But one thing I love about the Bible, I love many things about it, but one thing I love about the Bible is it doesn't rush to Christmas. It doesn't look past the darkness. It doesn't consider the darkness not to be a thing. It doesn't consider like pain and suffering not to be a thing. It doesn't rush to Christmas. It allows it to build. These 400 years aren't this just cute story that I could rhyme off to you, but this allows us to understand the theology that we gain. Because there's a lot of people, I would assume, in this space that you're in the waiting moment. You're like, God, where are you? God, I haven't experienced you in this moment. I've been crying out for that thing and I haven't seen it. God, I've been praying for that person and I haven't seen it. Or when you're like, God, I just need you to speak about something, and silence almost becomes deafening. It's like, I can't hear anything, and it's in this moment, and our theology is wired this way to say, will you trust me when I don't speak? See, when the darkness overcomes so many things in our lives and it appears so many times, it presents what we actually are fearful of. And so the reason we got Rebecca to read Revelation chapter 5, and the reason these guys sung such a beautiful song, is because I think the emotion of it and the rawness of Revelation 5 can capture this season really well. See, John sees God's plan in front of him. He sees this scroll, which isn't unrolled yet. It isn't released yet, but it's locked. No one can open it. And this is a scroll that would have been full of justice and healing, and God's plan was going to be rolled out in the earth. Yet he sees that it's locked, and it can't be accessed. And there's this moment for John that he starts to weep, and he starts to weep. It says, I wept, and I wept. And I think sometimes when the Bible gives us this ability to understand and even language to help express, it says, here, this really matters. Like what John's saying here and what John's doing says here, it really matters. His tears carry the weight of unanswered prayers. The tears carry the delays in your life. The tears carry everything when you thought God was going to act and it didn't happen the way you want. And that's some of us in this space. And what I love, that John doesn't beat around the bush and think it's all going to be okay, but he allows himself to sit in the pain and the understanding that here, this is not easy, this is heavy, and this is real. I wept and I wept. But then my second point is this, then suddenly light breaks in. This is the turn of the story. This is when we start to smile and celebrate. This is when the beautiful sort of choir sang this moment. But the elder turns around and he says, do not weep. Do not weep. These three words, 400 years of silence is shattered by the cry of a baby. He has come. Light has broken in. John hears of the lion, the powerful, the strong, victorious lion. But when he looks, he doesn't see a lion. He doesn't see this strong animal. He sees a lamb, a slain lamb standing and alive. And this is always how God does it. It's not with warning. It's not with building up of anticipation. But he comes at just the right time. It seemed like it was the most darkest moment of human history, asking God, have you forgot about us? God, where are you? But it's in that deep moment of darkness that light breaks in. This is Bethlehem. This is the Christmas story. It wasn't like darkness, you get ready for this fight. Here, darkness here will allow you some time to prepare yourself. It was just at the right moment when the Lord knew it was the right time, and it broke into the darkness. You see, a baby's cry silenced the echo of, the baby's cry slices the echo of silence for 400 years with the John 1 statement just becoming alive. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Let me be really honest with you this evening. Darkness has tried and it will continue to. But every single time, it will fail. That is who we worship tonight. That is why we rejoice in these moments, because it has tried and it still loses. Light breaks in. We sang a carol called Silent Night. Done a wee bit of research this week, and it was apparently first sung in 1818. Anyone around? In an Austrian village. And it's a funny story, apparently, if this is true. I looked at two things, so it should be true. The first time they sort of went to play it, the organ broke in the church. There was no organ. There was no loud noise. It was just a simple guitar. Just one guitar sang this beautiful carol. That song was sung in the silence of a church because it was just a guitar and just the congregation singing. And I love the irony of this carol. The song is called Silent Night. But it's never stopped being sang. Because silence doesn't win. Light wins. Every single time, light wins. So when we declare that song, we remember that Jesus is not staying silent. Silence of them 400 years didn't prolong, but at just the right time, light defeats the darkness. Light breaks in. And my last point is this. When light breaks in, it changes your darkness. See, once the Lamb gets the scroll and he says he's the one who's worthy to open the seals, it's sort of the whole sort of Bible verse just shifts. Even when Rebecca reads it, you can almost feel the shift when she's reading it. Almost when we're building up into the choir song, is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? And then we say, the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, David's root. This is the moment that everything shifts. This is the moment that we are no longer the same. You can almost feel this is the moment when John gets almost his act together. The tears stop flowing. The silence stops being so loud. And actually the music starts to play. And there starts to be praise from the throne room of heaven. And what almost felt stuck, that moment of the seal being stuck shut, or almost what feels like stuck in your life, where it's like, God, I don't know where you are. God, it almost feels like I can't see a way out. Or even for when we think back to before Jesus comes, the 400 years of, God, where are you? What are you doing? I can't experience you. I can't feel you. I don't know when you're coming. In a moment when light breaks in, we start to see movement again. And this is really important because light breaks in not just to help you experience something when you get to eternity with the Lord. Light breaks in here and now. Light broke in your life, and he wants to break into many people in this space. Because light doesn't pretend darkness isn't real. It just simply doesn't say that you have to live with the pain of it. You see how it changes. N.T. Wright says this, which I think is a really helpful way of putting it. The incarnation, which if that's strange language for you, it means God coming to earth. The incarnation is not God standing at a distance and shouting instructions. It is God stepping into the dark. The incarnation is not God standing at a distance and shouting instructions. It is God stepping into the dark. This is what Jesus does. He doesn't stand on a throne and say, do better, do this, do that. He comes where you are. He walks where you have walked. He is with you in every single moment. You see, when light breaks in to your life, the situations may look the same, but we carry a different posture. Christmas time can throw up loads of different emotions. I don't know about you. Sometimes it's joyful and sometimes it's sorrow. One of the hardest moments for me in Christmas, and I think this will be shared with a lot of people in the room, we go down to Mum and Dad's at Christmas time and we have a big family get together, which is great. But one of the hardest moments for me is when I sit at a table and I have my dinner in front of me and I look around the table and I see chairs that are empty. People who I love, people who have gone to be with the Lord, people, it is just difficult to do life without them. And it's in their moments, church, that I'm like, if I didn't have you, Lord, I don't know what I'd do. God, if I didn't have you in these moments, I don't know where I would turn to. I think my life would be ruled by the anxiety and the worry. But it's in their moments that I just experienced that light that broke into my life, who is just covering me, and he is with me, and he is beside me. You see, the situation may look the exact same for you, but I know my situation, I can do it because I don't do it alone. You see, when light breaks into your life, guilt no longer gets to shout loudly. Fear doesn't get to sort of run your life anymore. Suffering no longer means that God has left. You see, when light breaks in, it gets really personal really quickly because the light that broke into history wants to break into your life. And I've journeyed with people around this space and in this church. And I understand that sometimes light breaking in the moment, it seemed drastic and it seemed quick and it seemed obvious. But I bet you for the people in the 400 years, it didn't seem quick. It didn't seem obvious then. And so there might be some people in this space who feels like there needs to be this big moment that I give my life to Jesus, this big moment that I see. I think sometimes light breaking in can happen quietly and it can happen slowly. But I promise you, if you allow it, it will change everything about you. See, some of us have carried real darkness into this space tonight. A regret that's almost just replaying itself in your head. A conversation you wish you maybe didn't have. Maybe a diagnosis that's changed your life or changed your family's life. maybe just grief that catches you at this time of year, every single time it comes around. And Christmas in this story of Jesus does not say, here, like, do it alone. It doesn't say, here, it's not that hard. Actually, the story of Christmas is that here, you don't have to do this alone. I've came for you. You see, Christmas doesn't say it's not hard. It says, I've came to carry the burden with you. You see, the Lamb of God that we have read about and we have sang about knew pain. He knew what it was like to suffer. He has been there. And the Lamb who reigns now knows what it's like to bring light into the middle of every circumstance and every situation. You see, not because darkness is instantly going away, but it's because light has entered the story. And if you know your Bible, we're not in the fulfillment of it, right? We're sort of in this in-between. Light has come, but there is still darkness trying to dictate so much of our lives. We're sort of in this middle space. But everything is different now because light has broken in. The silence has been broken. The scroll has been opened. The Lamb reigns tonight. And so tonight, if you're still waiting, you have not been forgotten. If you are still weeping around sadness or pain or loss, your story is not finished. If you're still in the dark, I promise you, just allow the light to break in because it will change everything. John 1:5, the last time, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, tonight this light is available to you. And for some of you in the room, you've been led by darkness for a while, the majority of your life. It looks like anxiety and stress and worry that's just led so much of what you do. Other people who have been led by the light have experienced walking into the freedom which the Lord provides. But my heart is bursting full of faith tonight that some people could just receive that breaking in of light tonight. That thing that would just change their lives, that thing that would just make a way where there seems to be no way. My prayer is this. Let the light into your life tonight. Some people in this space maybe think, here, I only came to see my grandson or granddaughter or my nephew in a sort of nativity. The Lord knew why you were here. Maybe said, I only came to support a friend or to just tick a box for Christmas. The Lord wanted you here tonight. Allow the light to break in. Lastly, if the worship team want to join me, I was preaching in Balmoney High, their carol service during the week, which was brilliant. It's a great school. And there was one sort of thing I felt like the Lord wanted me to say really clearly to that room. And I feel like I want to say clearly to this room tonight. I think there's one person in the Bible, in the sort of the Christmas story that gets overlooked a wee bit. And it's not someone who you'll read in the pages. It's not Jesus. He's the center of attention. It's not the shepherds. It's not the wise men. It's not the angel. Everyone gets their space. But I think it's you. And you may be thinking, my name's not in Luke, and my name's not in Matthew. Like, what do you mean it's me? See, tonight, if you don't know why Jesus came, he came for you. Like, the whole reason he left heaven to come to this earth as a baby, to live this perfect life, to die on a cross, was because he had you in his mind. Like, that's the whole reason he came. You're part of this story, whether you know him or whether you don't, whether you love him already or whether you don't want anything to do with Jesus. You're part of this story. He is just longing for you to come home. He is just longing to let his light break into your life. So don't forget that tonight. You're part of the story. Could you stand with me and just close your eyes as I would pray? God, I thank you tonight that you're here. I thank you tonight that this is always about you. I thank you, Lord, that light has defeated the darkness, that light broke in. But God, we understand the wrestles of this time of year. We understand the stress of family stuff. We understand the weight of finance. We understand all of this, Lord. And we don't ignore it, but Lord, we just say we need you. And so, God, I pray for the people in this space that have never given their lives to Jesus, who have maybe created 14 excuses of why they should never follow Jesus. I pray that tonight, Lord, you would shatter the list. And I pray, Lord, for the first time, people would allow the light to break into their lives. And I pray you would transform everything that they have ever thought they were going to be. God, I pray for the ones who have been coming to church for a while, who have heard this message a couple of times. I pray, Lord God, finally, would they come to know you? Would they give all all of their lives to you? Would they allow that light that they have heard about many times to just shine through them? And God, this Christmas time, for us who know you and for us who love you, God, I pray you would just give us a fresh understanding and experience of how much you love us. God, we thank you that we were on your mind when you came to earth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you thought sitting in heaven that we were worth it. And so, God, we pray that our lives would just be vessels that you would use for your glory and for your honor. So, Lord, we ask, would you move in this space? We love you, Lord, and we pray that you would be honored. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.